I had some books brought in, which shook some people. But I'd like to just give you a couple of scriptures that may be helpful from page 36. And those of you who have already read the book, it's going to be old stuff, but bear with me for a couple of minutes. Of course, the scripture teaches that Christians do have these prophetic experiences, and we are also told in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, that in the last days they will increase. That should give you your upper room there, Gail. Jesus also warned that in the last days there would be many false prophets, Matthew 24:11. Prophetic revelation is essential when the Lord gives it, and the enemy knows this very well. Which is why he will raise up many false prophets, but they can easily be discerned. As Paul warned the Colossians, we should beware of those who are having such revelations and are being inflated by them. A religious spirit will always feed on pride. Kind of neat, right? Whereas true spiritual maturity will always lead to increasing humility. That's where we're going. This progression of humility is wonderfully demonstrated in the life of Paul, the apostle. In his letter to the Galatians, estimated to have been written in 56 AD, he declared that when he visited the original apostles in Jerusalem, they contributed nothing to me. Can you hear a little pride there? Galatians 2:6. He was by this declaring that he had as much as they did. In his first letter to the Corinthians, written about 6 years later, he called himself the least of the apostles. What happened in 6 years? He took a nosedive? Or he got a new perspective? Same Paul, right? In his letter to the Ephesians, within around 61 AD, he declared himself to be the very least of all the saints. See, and if you read the Bible, you may not pick up on this because we don't know somewhere about his walk and which letter came first. But this book, verifies some of this. When writing to Timothy approximately 3 or 4 years later, he declared himself to be the foremost of all sinners, 1 Timothy 1:15, adding that he had found mercy. Kind of cool, huh? A true revelation of God's mercy is one of the greatest antidotes for the religious spirit. The antidote. The prescription that will bring salvation. Amen? It's called the gospel. Tell your neighbor, get ready for some more gospels. Amen? A gospel you take every day, right? No side effects. There will be a definite, sometimes, rejection. The body does reject it. Okay? I want you to go to Romans chapter 5. Because I think sometimes we think that we can be perfected by our own works. But in Romans chapter 5, St. Paul is really kind of pushing our buttons to wake up. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us. It's a gift. But you and I need to take faith that we are righteous already. Now, how do you manifest that righteousness? Sometimes you won't. Sometimes you're going to do what Paul calls in chapter 7, the disability of the flesh. And you're going to go off barking in the, like you know what, mad dogs. Responding to circumstances. But take faith because, see, you are in Christ. You are united with the healer by the Holy Ghost. And I'm also reminded that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, so I want you to skip over there now. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Notice that you're righteous by faith. It's a choice you've made, and you're going forward by that choice. And as you declare it, it will become a reality to you. You'll see it happening within you when you least expect it. Verse 3, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons that we fight with are not weapons of the world. In other words, don't buy yourself a whip and start whipping yourself into shape, because it's not the way it's going to be done. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Say, ouch. In other words, when you have been transformed by God and you're now aware that you're starting to see what a sinner you've been, then you are now being crowned with humility. Because St. Paul gives us that example. He thought at the beginning, nobody can add anything to my message. He thought he had it all put together. But he didn't. I thought I had it all put together until I saw deeper. I thought I needed nothing until I saw my lack. And I'm just trying to educate you not to give up on the one who says you're righteous by faith. You're righteous because your declaration is truth. And you belong to the Holy One of Israel. And His Spirit is definitely within you. Now, He is working in us to perfect everything about us. And as we cooperate and humble ourselves and ask for help, He'll do it in the most awesome way that you could ever conceive. But it's going to be done by faith. It's going to be you believing that He's doing this work, thanking Him every day. And I got a phone call today from someone who just had some bad news. And the bad news is causing all kinds of ripple in their lives. And after I got off the phone, I said, Lord, because it's somebody that is close to me. And it bothers me to see them nosedive. How many have ever seen somebody close to you?
Amen.
And you can see the nosedive. You can see it happening. And you would love to just grab them and say, wait a minute! The recipe is to give thanks in all circumstances for the way they are, because you are not the healer. You can be the intercessor. You can be the one that says, God, I can't change that person. I'd like to whip him into shape, but I can't even whip myself into shape. Have I got any brothers and sisters here?
Amen.
I can't do it. So I know that only you can do this. So please reveal this whole situation to you. I'm just asking you to just reveal what you are going to do with this man or this woman. I'm trusting you to change and transform them because I can. And unless the lights go on the inside of their heart, what happens? continue to what? And they go deeper into deeper. And be aware. Jonah was stubborn, like some of us. He wanted to just get rid of God's plan. Was not interested in going to Nineveh. So he hopped on a boat. And when the boat was ready to sink in the middle of a storm, he told his buddies, you know what? I'm your problem. Does that sound like St. Paul? I'm your problem. Throw me overboard. How many of you have got that kind of courage? I'm the problem. I'm causing the storm. I'm irritating everybody. Because God wants to change me, and I don't want to change. I don't want to go to Nineveh. I can't stand those people. So a big fish swallows them, prepared by God. How did he get out of the fish? He changed his mind. And then he began to celebrate his circumstance. And it got the fish so upset, the fish vomited him out of the darkness, out of the hopeless depths of the ocean.
Close your eyes for a moment.
Say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
I've got a few that are sinking.
And
I'm going to rejoice
that
you're going to
give me the courage
to celebrate the darkness they're in and to trust you. That they will change their minds. That they will repent and change their attitude.
And
as I give praise and glory to you
for
their salvation, whatever garbage is holding on to them,
it's
going to thrust them out of the depth,
and
they'll accomplish what God has prepared for them.
In
Jesus'
name,
I pray. And if I'm stuck, Lord,
I'm going to thank you
for the place I'm in.
And
the fish that's holding
on to me
will
spit me out
to the glory of God.